Amos Wallace was a keeper, so his longtime home on Juneau's Douglas Island held numerous documents from his nearly 70-year career. Since he and his wife Dorothy passed away, their son Brian has been going through the collection.
I was in the basement earlier this part of this year, and I opened up some boxes and stuff, and I saw some photos that I've never seen before, and unfortunately I saw this.
This was a pair of black and white historic photographs showing the elder Wallace with a totem pole he carved in Cincinnati, Ohio. Both were badly damaged by water.
So I did not want this disaster to happen to the rest of the collection, so I immediately started putting everything together, making and organizing the archive, and then I took it down to Sealaska Heritage, and now it's in a very safe place where it will be preserved for generations.
The Juneau-based Heritage Institute preserves and advances Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian culture. It's planning a new building, the Walter Soboloff Center, to house a growing physical collection, a digital library, classrooms, and display space. That will include the Wallace Collection.
In terms of going out and meeting the rest of the world, Amos was that ambassador for Tlingit people, for Tlingit art.
Rosita Worrell is the Institute's president. She says Amos Wallace was an important artist and craftsman.
He definitely brought attention to our art in, you know, nationally and internationally.
And it certainly takes a person with character to do that.
Zachary Jones is archivist and collections manager for the Institute. He says Wallace was enthusiastic about his culture and generous with his knowledge.
He was there sort of showcasing Alaska statehood, as sort of this Alaska Native representative to different people across the nation on the Tonight Show, at museums, really sort of an individual teaching the lower 48 about Alaska Native art.
Jones and Worrell say the collection is comprehensive, something that's not often seen in Tlingit art. It includes notes, drawings, photographs, and newspaper clippings.
You get to see a breadth of the artist's life. You can see the evolution of his work from an early age to his latter years. You can really see the beauty, the depth, and aspects of his life that I think we really like to celebrate.
Amos Wallace began carving under the tutelage of his older brother Lincoln when he was 7 years old. He went to the old Wrangell Institute boarding school, where he studied with respected carver Horace Marks. He served in the Army in World War II, then spent more than a decade with his brother carving small totems for a Pacific Northwest wholesaler. As the collection shows, he moved on to a larger stage.
This is the totem pole that is now in the Brooklyn Children's Museum.
Brian Wallace, Amos's son, pulls up a digitized photo from his father's collection.
He carved this totem pole in New York City in 1958 for a big department store in Brooklyn called Abraham and Strauss. A lot of several local people in town who grew up like said, "Hey, yeah, I know that. They probably even went and saw my dad carving at one time when they were little kids."
The elder Wallace did more than carve when he was in New York. He talked to school children and others about his art, culture, and traditions. That led to his Tonight Show appearance, back when it was hosted by Jack Parr. The department store totem later moved to a new location, the Brooklyn Children's Museum. Brian Wallace pulls up another photo showing his dad wearing a traditional Chilkat blanket and a woven spruce root hat.
This photo was taken the day the totem pole was dedicated. He's there with a little girl. He's got this, you know, Tlingit words for new totem pole, you know, words for my country, Alaska, and Tlingit here.
The Amos Wallace collection also documents totem carvings at Disneyland, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and museums in Cincinnati, Toronto, and Boston. In addition, the archive includes numerous drawings, such as clan crests, on graph paper. They're images that became totems, smaller wooden carvings, or metal jewelry.
This killer whale here is a common motif he worked on throughout the years. You can see the finished carving of this in the Smithsonian Institution. I've seen it in pendants, and I've seen it in bracelets that he's made, so this is one of his favorite killer whale designs.
Parts of the archive are already digitized. Others wait to be scanned or otherwise preserved for future use. Whirl of the Heritage Institute says the drawings will be teaching tools, and the whole collection will attract artists and art historians.
When I look at some of the pieces, I recognize them as older pieces that you don't see anymore. Nowadays, the art has gotten, you know, it's more simple, it's broader. But when you go back and look at the early pieces that I'm familiar with, I see it in his work.
Parts of the collection are more personal, showing Alaska Native Brotherhood events or Orthodox Church services. Then there's family photos, including one showing Amos taking his younger son, Brian, to his first day of kindergarten. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.